بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي إن شاء الله today we're going to start with the tafsir of a new surah and that surah is Surah Al-Mutaffifin and with regards to this surah, then we're going to today talk about the introduction to the surah and also talk about as many of the ayat as we can, inshallah, depending on the time that we have, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. This specific surah is called Surah Al-Mutaffifin. And it's a surah which talks about the actions which lead to hellfire. And also, it goes into detail about some of these actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about al-mutaffifin. And al-mutaffifin, the word al-mutaffifin, which is also one of the names of this surah, means somebody who cheats or somebody who gives less than he's supposed to when it comes to business, when it comes to buying and selling, when it comes to transactions. And this surah, as we said, is the 83rd surah of the Quran, and it consists altogether of 36 ayat altogether. And the surah in and of itself discusses and talks about the actions of those who commit sins. Also, it talks about the Day of Judgment. It talks about, and Allah curses, in fact, not just those who cheat when it comes to buying and selling and measuring things when they buy them or when they sell them, when they do transactions, but also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses those who deny the Day of Judgment. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَ إِذِ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. So Allah curses those individuals in this surah. Allah talks about the consequences of their actions. Allah talks about them not being able to taste the sweetness of faith. يَوْمَ إِذِ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. Allah says, on that day there will be a partition for them. A partition between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning they won't have access to Allah. They won't see the face of Allah. They won't be given the mercy from Allah azza wa jal, and so on and so forth. Also in this surah, Allah talks about the reward for the believers. Allah goes into detail about what kind of rewards the believers will have. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They'll be on thrones overlooking paradise, overlooking the gardens of paradise, the rewards of paradise, the delights of paradise, and so on and so forth. And also how the believers will be laughed at in the dunya because of their actions, because of their worship, because of the way they look, because of the way they behave, because of the things they do, because of their beliefs. But on the Day of Judgment, they will be the ones who will be laughing. They will be the ones who will be laughing, and the disbelievers will be the ones who will be crying. They will be the ones who are sad. And this surah, when the scholars talked about whether it's a Madani surah or a Makki surah, they in fact differed. And this is because it's a surah which was revealed towards the end of the Meccan era. In fact, some say it's the last surah which was revealed in Mecca. And some say, no, it was the first surah which was revealed in Medina. And others, in fact, yani after the Hijrah. And others, in fact, they said, no, this was actually revealed on the way to Medina from Mecca. So the scholars, they differed with regards to when it was revealed, but we can say it's definitely one of the last surahs to be revealed in Mecca, or one of the early surahs, the first surah, or one of the first surahs to be revealed in Medina. And the scholars, some of them, they said this is a Makki surah, and they mentioned reasons why they say it's a Makki surah. They say because in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about things He normally talks about when it comes to the Meccan era. So the Meccan period, we mentioned before, Allah azza wa jal would focus on specific things. He would focus on, for example, the Day of Judgment. He would focus on, for example, the rewards and the punishments of the believers and the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, the ayat he would use would be short ayat, and so on and so forth. We mentioned this before. So that's why some scholars say, no, this is a Makki surah because of the topics which are discussed and the nature of the surah and so on and so forth. But the same could be said with regards to some surahs in the Madani era, which also mention the same things. Yani when we say that Allah talks about the day of judgment in Makki surahs, this doesn't mean He doesn't talk about the day of judgment in Madani surahs. It's just, this is one of the main themes or main topics of the surahs which were revealed in before the Hijrah, the Makki surahs. So the point being, it's a surah which was either one of the last or the very last surah revealed in Mecca or before the Hijrah, or the first surah or one of the first surahs which was revealed after the Hijrah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And this surah is a surah which has an interesting position in the Quran, meaning we said previously that it's a surah which is the 83rd surah of the Quran. And if you're reading obviously from the beginning, from Surah Baqarah, you're making your way to Surah Mutaffifin, and before Mutaffifin you have Al-Infitar, Surah Al-Infitar, إذا السماء فطرت, when the sky begins to crack. This is the literal meaning of إذا السماء فطرت. This comes before Surah Mutaffifin. After Mutaffifin you have Al-Inshiqaq, Surah Al-Inshiqaq, إذا السماء انشقت, which we talked about last week. We did the tafsir of this surah. When the sky splits open. When the sky splits open. And some of the scholars, they talked about why this surah comes in between. Why this surah specifically comes in between. Because we mentioned last week when we talked about إذا السماء انشقت that there are specific surahs which come together. For example, the Hawamim, the surahs that start with Hamim, they come together. And these surahs which start with إِذَا السَّمَاءُ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشقت إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انفطرت إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, they also are surahs which come together. So you have التَّكْوِير إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, which comes first from the beginning. And then you have Surah Al-Infitar إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انفطرت. But then after this you don't have إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشقت. You have مُطَفِّفِين, you have this surah. And then you have إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَتْ coming after this surah. Now the question is, why does this surah come before Inshiqaq, even though all of these three surahs start the same? They start with the earth, or they start with signs of the day of judgment and things happening to the sky, or things happening to elements of the sky. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَتْ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انفطرت إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, when the sun is basically going to be destroyed, or when it's going to be split asunder, the overthrown, yani one of the signs of the day of judgment, where the sun itself will collapse on itself, or it will collapse. So why does this surah specifically come in between the surahs which talk about signs of the day of judgment? And we mentioned وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ is talking about a curse to those who cheat when it comes to the measuring, and they don't give good measure when they buy and when they sell. Now, the scholars, they talked about this. They talked about why Mutaffifin comes in this specific order. And they mentioned some reasons. They said, in Surah Infitar, which comes before this surah, in Surah Infitar, Allah talks about the sky cracking, the cracking of the sky. When the sky starts to begins to crack. And the surah which comes after Mutaffifin, Surah Inshiqaq, talks about the sky splitting. So they say the crack happens first and then the sky begins to split. But then you have this surah which comes in the middle. Also they say Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Infitar, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. Allah says, O man, what has made you careless about your Lord? Why are you careless with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why aren't you worshipping Allah as you're supposed to be worshipped? Other scholars, they say that in Shiqaq, Surah Inshiqaq talks about an individual striving to his Lord. يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقي. يا أيها الإنسان, you are, oh man, you are striving to your Lord. You're running to your Lord, you're rushing to your Lord. Meaning, when a person preoccupies himself and a person is busy with the dunya, he's basically busying himself with the meeting with his Lord, which is something that's inevitable. So they mentioned these ayat. They said, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ, that what has made you careless about your worship, which is referring to the dunya. And then in Surah Inshiqaq, Allah says, إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا, that basically you're hastening to your Lord. You're hastening to the worship or to the meeting with your Lord. So the scholars, they say, both of these surahs, which take place before and after Mutaffifin, they talk about the Day of Judgment, but in different stages. So for example, the sky itself, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرْ إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ فَطَرَتْ, the sky, when the sky will begin to crack. And then they talk about the surah which comes after Mutaffifin, when the sky begins to split. So it's talking about different stages of the Day of Judgment and when the Day of Judgment will take place. Now in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Day of Judgment itself. So in Surah Inshiqaq, we mentioned last week, there are certain things in Surah Inshiqaq where Allah Azza wa Jal talks about elements of things which will happen on the Day of Judgment, at the later stages of the Day of Judgment. In this surah, Allah Azza wa Jal, in Surah Mutaffifin, Allah says, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah talks about the standing on the Day of Judgment. Meaning, this surah talks about incidents which take place after incidents which are mentioned in Surah Infitar, which comes before, but before incidents which are mentioned in Surah Inshiqaq, which comes after. And from those things which are mentioned in this surah, which happen between the two things which are mentioned in the two surahs beside it, is the standing on the Day of Judgment. And so this is what some of the scholars say with regards to the positioning of this surah and why it is where it is. And also there must be many other reasons, many other things which we don't know about, why specifically this surah was placed in this specific section in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins and he says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he starts this surah by saying wail. And wail in the Arabic language is a curse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is cursing. Other scholars, they said wail itself, the word wail is referring to a valley in hellfire. So wail is actually a valley in hellfire. So whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says wail, it's referring to individuals who will be in this portion of hellfire. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ, woe to every backbiter and scorner. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, woe to those who lie or who deny. The scholars, they said, this is referring to a place specifically in hellfire where these individuals will enter. Meaning, wail is for those who lie. Wail is for those who backbite and scorn. Wail is for those who, for example, don't give good measure. They cheat and lie. They cheat and lie when it comes to, you know, the measurements in buying and selling. Others, they said it refers to just a curse from Allah Azza wa Jal. Yani we say just, but it's a serious thing when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cursing individuals because of certain actions that they do. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he mentions that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said that when the Messenger of Allah sallam arrived in Medina, when he came to Medina, the people of Medina before Islam, they were the most terrible, they were the worst when it came to giving measurements, giving just measurements. So they would cheat when it came to the measurements that they would give when they would buy and sell. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah, وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ, to warn those who would basically cheat or not be just when it came to measurements. And after this, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, after this they began to give good measure because of this surah being revealed. And the word mutaffifin comes from the word tatfif in Arabic. And this word refers to stinginess when it comes to measurements and when it comes to weight. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, he's showing and emphasizing the seriousness of individuals who don't be just when it comes to buying and selling, when it comes to having just measurements when buying and selling, when dealing with other individuals. And subhanAllah, you know, this was many years ago, and we look today when it comes to businessmen, when it comes to, you know, those who are involved in business and buying and selling, even on a small scale, then we'll notice that many people are negligent when it comes to buying and selling. Meaning whatever quick buck they can make, however they can save money, however they can make money, cheat and lie, and try to, you know, make some extra quid here and there, they'll go down those roads just to make that quick dollar, that quick pound, you know. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam himself, he mentioned in other ahadith the seriousness of those individuals who cheat and they lie and they steal when it comes to buying and selling, when it comes to business. One of the hadith which is mentioned, and it's a hadith which the scholars, they said it was a Hassan hadith. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that on the Day of Judgment, the merchants, the businessmen will be raised up as evildoers. Meaning the general understanding when it comes to businessmen is that they are going to be evildoers. He said on the Day of Judgment, the merchants, the businessmen, will be raised up as evildoers, except for those who fear Allah and they're honest. So this shows us, subhanAllah, how the general understanding, and we see this today, you know, when we look at businessmen, you know, you see TV shows where there's these businessmen and they have, you know, these shows where people have these interviews where they do certain tasks. And just the way they speak, just the way these people speak, how arrogant they are, you know, and how dishonest they may be. And even, you know, and this is a reflection of society. When you have individuals who will do anything to get a job, will do anything to make money, they'll lie, they'll cheat. And this shows us the state of the people today, whether it's Muslim or non-Muslim. And this is why another hadith, the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasalam, he said, "At-tajir as-saduq al-amin ma'a an-nabiyyina was-siddiqina was-shuhada'i yawm al-qiyamah." The Messenger of Allah alayhi wasalam, he said that the honest, truthful businessman will be with the prophets, will be with the prophets and the righteous or the truthful and the martyrs on the Day of Judgment. So this shows us, subhanAllah, the first of all, the rarity of finding a businessman who is going to be honest and trustworthy. You know, because we think of a businessman or somebody wants to start up a business or you want to do business with someone, you hope he's honest. But at the same time, somebody who's doing business, he's going to think to himself, if I'm not dishonest, if I don't lie, if I don't cheat, at one point or another in my business, then I'm not going to get very far. And so a person ends up falling into the trap of being dishonest and lying, thinking that if he's not dishonest, if he doesn't lie, if he doesn't cheat or swindle his way into making money, then he's not going to be successful. But again, it's about what we consider to be success. And what is success when it comes to the Muslim? How do we measure success? How do we measure that individual who is going to be successful? What is our understanding of success? You know, whenever we hear the adhan, hayya ala al-falah, come to success. This is something which is a success that's going to be permanent, it's going to be eternal. And so an individual, when he reflects and he thinks about it in this way, then this wealth which he accumulates or he's trying to make via haram means is something which in the long run is not going to benefit him, it's not going to be something which is going to be beneficial for him on the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, he's reminding us of the seriousness of those individuals who are stingy and they don't give good measure. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, those who when they have to receive the measure from people, يَسْتَوْفُونَ, they demand full measure. So an individual, for example, a businessman, okay, someone who buys and sells, whether he's a, you know, a successful businessman or he's not so successful, whether he's very wealthy or not very wealthy, when he's buying something, he makes sure, he doubles down. He makes sure when he buys something, he's got the correct quantity. Okay? Or for example, he may even expect and want more. Somebody buys something from somebody else, he gives him whatever he wants, and he haggles with him, he fights with him to maybe get a bit more. This is what's referred to when Allah says, يستوفون. That when they receive measure from people, يستوفون, they demand full measure. They take their right by demanding exactly what they wanted, or even more than this. They try to get even more. You know, they'll fight to an extent where they'll get more than they deserved, more than they paid for. And so this is how they are when it comes to receiving things. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the third ayah, وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوَّزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. Allah says, when they have to give measure, now when they're selling something, the same product, when they sell it and they're measuring how much they have to give, a kilo of this, a pound of this, whatever it may be, then they give less than what's due. Meaning they give less than they're supposed to. So on one hand, when it comes to themselves and how much they receive, they make sure they get exactly what they're supposed to receive, or maybe even more than this. They'll try to get more. But when it comes to giving it away, when it comes to selling, they'll try to be a bit stingy when it comes to how much they give. They'll try to cut, you know, how much they're supposed to give, cut it down. So even if they don't give what they're supposed to give in return for the money they receive, that's fine, it's okay, you know, it's no big deal, it's okay, because I'm not losing out. As long as I get what I need, and as long as when I buy it originally from the person I bought it from, as long as he gives me how much I'm supposed to get, then it's all well and good. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing these individuals, and in fact he's cursing them. And what's interesting is the curse comes first. The curse comes first, وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. And then the description comes later. And in other surahs, Allah does the same thing. وَيْلُ لِكُلِ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَةِ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالٌ وَعَدَّدَ. And this is interesting because in this surah, Surah Humaza, which we did the tafsir of many months ago, in this surah, the second ayah, Allah talks about those who are obsessed with just amassing and hoarding wealth. So Allah curses the backbiter and the scorner, but the second ayah of Humaza, Allah says, and He describes those who backbite and scorn, meaning from their attributes, from their characteristics, is that they hoard their wealth. So it's like as if these two things are going hand in hand. You know, when someone is stingy with regards to his wealth, when somebody isn't honest and decent when it comes to buying and selling and business, then it doesn't just affect his wealth, but it affects his character, it affects his personality. It's affecting your akhlaq, it's affecting your manners. And we see this, isn't it? We see this with businessmen. You know, the way they behave, the way they talk, the way they speak, the way they swear, the way they, you know, they lie and swindle and backbite about other individuals and so on and so forth. So this is something, subhanAllah, which is common. And it's interesting how Allah mentions this point in both of these surahs, even though in Surah Humaza Allah talks about backbiters and scorners. But the point I wanted to mention was how Allah mentions and curses first, then He describes them later, describes them in the next few ayat. And this shows us how serious this situation is, the fact that Allah doesn't talk about it first and then He curses them, but in fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses them first and then He goes into detail about who they are, what they do, and so on and so forth. So it just shows us the seriousness of these actions that they do. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوَّزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. When they have to give measure or weight to other people, يُخْسِرُونَ comes from khasara, meaning it's a loss. It's less than what they're supposed to give. They decrease what they're supposed to give, even though what they were given, in terms of the money they were given, for in exchange for what they're going to give, is the exact amount, it's the correct amount. And again, this shows us the mentality of human beings, in a way. How sometimes we expect more to be given to us And we don't expect to give as much as we earn. You know, this is the mentality we have sometimes. You know, a person, for example, when he works or when he's doing something, he expects to receive more, but he doesn't want to give as thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he's received. When both of these things are from Allah azza wa jal. You know, when we talk about what we're given, everything we have, all of the wealth we have is from Allah in the first place. But at the same time, even though it's from Allah azza wa jal, whenever we want to give, we don't want to give as much as or enjoy or are happy to give as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Not to say that a person has to give everything which he has, but in the sense of a person doesn't show thanks to Allah, satisfaction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't recognize the blessings he's been given by giving from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with, and as a result of him doing this, Allah will bless him with even more. So it's a mentality of a human being, a person expects to be given more and doesn't really give as much as he receives. He wants to give less. And this is the nature of human beings. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, Allah says, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّ, that you love wealth a severe love. And this is the nature of a human being. You know, if somebody was asked, are you happy with how much you earn? You know, a lot of people would say no. You know, if your employer came and told you, you know, would you like a pay rise? A person's not going to say, no, it's okay, I'm all right, I don't really need it. It's okay, keep it, give it to somebody else. You say straight away, you say yes. You know, is that a question to ask? Just give it to me. You know, so this is the nature of human beings. That it's never going to be enough. It's always going to be more that they want and more that they seek. Even though whatever they've been given is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was discussing this with another class which I gave about how individuals are never satisfied with what they have. And they always want more. And how, for example, you know, the first time you receive money, like when you're a child and you're given money, pocket money or whatever it is, you're over the moon even though it's a small amount. You know, you're given £10 a week, but it's amazing when you're first given money and you start thinking about what you're going to spend it on and sweets and this and that. Even though it's just £10, you feel like you're a millionaire. And then when you get your first job, maybe you're getting paid £200-£300 a month, £500 a month, nothing really. But because it's your first job, it's you know, something which you can't believe, the fact that you're getting paid. And at the end of the month, at the end of the week, when you get that money, when you get that wealth, you feel like you're a millionaire. You feel like you're rich, even though it's nothing. But as time goes on, and a person earns more, he feels like he deserves more, or he feels like it's not enough. And maybe this is down to the innocence of youth. You know, when a person is young, he's innocent, and he gets his wealth, and he has that innocence and that purity with regards to his, you know, his mind and how he thinks. And maybe as he gets older, a person gets more corrupted. Allah knows best. But subhanAllah, it shows us how individuals in their nature, when they get older, they seem to want more. And it's something which can be dangerous, because a person can lose focus on what's important. You know, and also that's why it's said that some of the companions, when they used to have wealth, they used to have a certain limit, meaning they used to have a certain threshold of how much money they needed. So they would have a certain amount of money where they knew if they had that much money, they would be content, meaning they would be comfortable. It would be enough for them to survive, to support their families. In case of something happening, in case of emergencies, they will have enough to support themselves, to deal with any emergencies which took place, and so on and so forth. So they had a threshold. Anything which came above that threshold, that was something which they considered to be extra. And so they would give that to charity, they would give it fi sabilillah, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and so on and so forth. And then they would always have that threshold, okay, just in case. And this is something which is good. It's a good mentality to have. You know, when a person thinks like this, because Islam isn't a religion which condones or promotes hoarding. And you're just amassing and collecting wealth and just keeping it, not doing anything with it. In fact, Islam encourages a person to spend his wealth and for wealth to circulate amongst the community, amongst the ummah, amongst the people, amongst the townspeople and the people who are in need of it and so on and so forth. So people are benefiting from that wealth consistently and regularly, on a regular basis. And this is the whole purpose of wealth, the fact that people benefit from it and that a person gains ajr as a reward of him in spending it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal here, he's talking about the seriousness of those individuals who don't give good measure, and when they receive it exactly, or they want more or expect more or ask for more, even though they never gave money to ask for more. And when they give the measure after somebody pays for something, when they give the measure to others, they give less than what's due upon them. So there's this element of stinginess to these individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cursing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's talking about these individuals. And in other ayat, Allah also talks about this attribute that individuals may have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about being just when it comes to giving measurements, giving full measure. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ إِذَا كِلْتُمْ وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرُهُ أَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. Allah says, give full measure when you measure, when you weigh. And weigh with a balance, وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Weigh with a balance that's straight. Don't weigh with a balance that's crooked or slightly going this way or that way, so a person won't give it's his due measure to the person buying. That is good and better in the end. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. This is beneficial and better for the person in the long run, in the dunya and also in the akhirah. In the dunya, it's better for you long term because people will notice and recognize that you're someone who's honest. You're not someone who's going to be dishonest when it comes to buying and selling. You know, when someone buys something from you and you're completely honest when it comes to what you're selling, part of the conditions of selling something in Islam is that you have to mention the defects in whatever you're selling, big or small. You have to mention things which are wrong with the phone, things which are wrong with the car before you sell the car. This is something which is your duty to do so. And a person may think, if I do that, my car's never going to be sold. But in fact, it's the opposite. When a person recognizes that you're someone who's honest, he's going to want to buy from you. He's going to want to come back to you because he knows you can be trusted. And also there's barakah and blessing in the wealth that you do have, even if it's less. There's barakah and blessing in the wealth that you do have. So Allah Azza wa Jalla here in this ayah, he talks about how when you measure and you weigh, then make sure it's just, make sure it's a full measure, and balance with a straight balance. Don't let it be a balance or a scale which is crooked. And this is better for you in the end, in this dunya and also in the akhirah. A person gets the reward and the ajr as well. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Allah says, give full measure and full weight, بالقسط, with justice. Qist is justice. لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. But we don't burden any person except with that which he can bear. Meaning any trials and difficulties you're going through, that you feel like you have to cheat, you have to earn more money, any trials and difficulty you're going through, these trials and difficulties that you're going through are things which you can bear, things which you can deal with. Because لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. We don't burden a person except with what he can bear, what he can deal with. Any trials and tests that we go through as believers, as Muslims, these trials Allah wouldn't give us if he knew that we couldn't deal with them. And we mentioned this before, how the prophets of Allah had the hardest of tests. Why did they have the hardest of tests? Because they could deal with them. They were able to deal with those burdens. Whereas with us, the trials we go through are much lighter because our iman isn't as strong. And this is from the signs of Allah. This is in fact from the signs of Allah. The fact that the prophets would go through harsher trials than us. Why don't we go through the same trials? Why don't we have the same trials happening to us? For example, all of our children passing away before we do. It's very rare that you see anything like this happening. The Messenger of Allah, all his children passed away before him except one. So why doesn't this happen regularly on a regular basis to us? Because our iman, our belief is not as strong as the belief of the prophets and messengers of Allah. And so this shows us the first of all the existence of Allah. The fact that this is a sunnah of Allah. It's a miracle from Allah. That certain things and tests and trials the prophets of Allah would go through that we don't go through, we don't experience because of our lack of iman and our weakness of iman compared to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many ayat he talks about the importance of being just when it comes to giving measure, when it comes to being when it comes to buying and selling and having giving the correct measurement in things that we buy and sell. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. He says, do they not think that they're going to be resurrected, أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, on a great day. So Allah Azza wa Jal now talks about these individuals and their mentality. Meaning when a person buys and sells and he cheats and he doesn't give the just measurements, then his priority isn't the akhirah, his priority is the dunya. And so he may be thinking, I need to make as much wealth and money and live as comfortably as I can now because this is all I have. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Don't they think that they're going to be resurrected? Meaning this is something which is for sure is going to take place, it's going to happen. Meaning this isn't the be-all and end-all. If you cheat someone in this dunya, and if you don't give somebody the correct measurements and their good measurements in this dunya, then they're going to get their rightful amount on the Day of Judgment. And in fact, it's going to be even worse on the Day of Judgment, because anybody you cheat, anybody you deceive, anybody you steal from, anybody you harmed or oppressed on the Day of Judgment, they're going to suffer by their deeds being taken away from them, their good deeds being taken away from them, and given to those that they oppressed, those that they cheated on the Day of Judgment. So in fact, the consequences are much worse for those individuals. أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah says, لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, on this great day, on this day when every single individual will be held to account for their actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day, he calls it a great day, لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, the greatest day, because every single individual, everything which he did, everything which he said, all of his deepest innermost secrets will be shown. They'll be exposed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see every single thing. يَوْمِ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That day when all of mankind, and nas refers to mankind, in every single individual, every single man who ever lived on the face of this earth, every single individual, every single person, and in fact every single of the jinn, يَوْمِ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that every single man on this day will stand before his Lord, will stand before رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, will stand before the Lord of الْعَالَمِينَ. الْعَالَمِينَ, the scholars they said, when Allah mentions الْعَالَمِينَ, like رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, يَوْمِ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, رَبِّ is something which possesses something, and الْعَالَمِينَ is everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in existence except Allah. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns everything. Allah is in control of everything. Allah possesses everything. Everything is under the command and decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing which is outside of the control of Allah azza wa jal. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding everyone that a person may cheat, a person may swindle, a person may be unfair when it comes to measurements in the dunya, but at the end of the day, everything we do, everything we say is under the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's something which is under the control of Allah. There is nothing you can do which will escape Allah Azza wa Jal, escape Rabbul Alameen, and you'll be standing in front of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, and you'll be questioned for every single thing that you did. The Messenger of Allah Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, he talked about the Day of Judgment, and he talked about this standing on the Day of Judgment, يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, how this individual on the Day of Judgment, he'll be standing on that day. The Messenger of Allah, he said that on that day people will be standing before their Lord, and the sun will be close to them the distance of a mile. The distance of a mile. And people will be standing in front of their Lord. They'll be naked, uncircumcised, standing barefoot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause these individuals to have sweat up to portions of their body depending on the sins which they committed. So some individuals, they will have sweat up to their knees. Some individuals will have sweat up to their bellies or their chests. And some individuals, they'll have sweat up to their ears because of the amount of sins which they committed. And again, subhanAllah, this is from the punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a precursor to those who used to commit sins, and a sign for those who committed sins of what's to come. And mercy and forgiveness is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to these individuals. And you know, a person may ask, how is it possible that sweat will rise separately, individually, depending on each individual's specific actions, even though it's going to be an open plain? You know, the land that we're going to be standing on is going to be an open land. So how will an individual have sweat specifically to him up to a certain height depending on his sins? And we said this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever he wishes and is able to do whatever he wants. And so if he wants individuals to be able to suffer specifically with regards to sweat reaching a certain part of their body, and that doesn't affect anybody else, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do this. And the concept of water, you know, or liquid being contained in a specific place, these are all concepts of this dunya. You know, when it comes to physics, when it comes to the issue of gravity, when it comes to, you know, all these types of things, the issue of the concept of time, the concept of, you know, physics, all of these things are pertaining to this dunya. You know, even the concept of gravity, once you leave this world, gravity doesn't exist. And so when it comes to the akhirah, we shouldn't expect the same rules that affect this dunya to be in the akhirah as well. Because of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one who created time. He created gravity. He created oxygen. He created everything. He created the rules and the parameters that we live in on this earth. And if Allah Azza wa Jal wishes to, He can change those as He will on the Day of Judgment and as He will in paradise and also in hellfire. How days will be very long. 1,000 years is the length of a day in paradise. And this is of course by the permission and the decree and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wants to do something, then all He has to do is say be and it is. So inshallah we'll conclude here and we'll continue with the tafsir of this surah next week inshallah ta'ala. If there's any questions, then I'll do my best to answer them inshallah. Okay, so in regards to the first question about if a person goes late to work You're referring to, for example, what you do about the wages that he's receiving because he's coming late. Is that what you mean? So in that case, it goes back to the employer. If the employer is understanding, if he understands and if he knows that certain people come late, certain people may come early, certain people maybe now and then they might come 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, and he's aware of this and he knows this, okay, then that's fine. Because he himself is the one who's hired you, he understands and he recognizes that certain people will come late. And if he understands this and if he knows this, okay, and he doesn't have any issue with this, has no problem with this, then that's fine. So as long as he's made aware of it and he's okay with it, then it's fine, inshallah. But of course, if a person is going, you know, late all the time and the boss isn't aware of it and you're getting paid an extra hour, you know, of work when you didn't actually come for that specific hour and he's not aware of it, then he needs to be made aware of it, he needs to know. So as long as he's informed and he knows that, look, maybe I come late now and then, is that okay? Okay, then as long as he's aware of it, then that's fine. And the second question with regards to these types of auctions where people sell things at face value, and for example, you buy a car and you're not allowed to look in the car, for example, or for whatever reason, you don't know what's inside the car, or if the car works, if there's an engine in the car, whatever it might be, or for example, certain bags, you know, like auctions where they have suitcases or bags and you don't know what's in the bag, and so people have auctions and they might pay a certain amount so they can buy these bags, and when they open them, it's just clothes, you know, so they don't know what's actually inside, or it might be something even more worth even more than what they paid for. Then there's a couple of issues here. First of all, the issue that I mentioned with regards to not mentioning the defects. So with these types of things, you have to mention the defects that are in those things if you have the ability to do so. If you're not able to do so physically, if for example you bought something and you weren't able to open it, you couldn't open it for whatever reason, and you're selling it and you say, look, I don't know what's inside it, you make clear. So you're mentioning very clearly, I don't know what's inside this car, I don't know the defects, I don't know what's wrong with this car. Then maybe that's fine, because you're declaring and you're stating your ignorance when it comes to what's wrong with the car, or what's in the car, or the condition of the car. The other issue though with things like, for example, people selling, maybe going off on a tangent, but things like these bags and other things which are sold when a person doesn't know what he's buying, then that's something which I don't know if it's permissible. I don't think it's permissible, because you don't know what you're buying. You don't know what you're buying. And that's a problem, because Islamically, from the conditions of buying and selling, and actually there's a course that's happening in a few weeks, Fiqh of Transactions, which, you know, I encourage everyone to do it. Sheikh Hassan is going to be delivering the seminar. It's over 8 weeks, I think. The point is, you don't know what you're buying. Islamically, you're supposed to know what you're buying. It has to be made clear to you. So you have to know exactly what you're buying. If you don't know what you're buying, then you can't buy that product. And maybe the same would apply with regards to the first thing as well. And Allah knows best. Okay, JazakumAllah khair. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.